Everybody, I'm muted. Good morning, everybody. It's so great to welcome you back to our Three Ideas in 30 Minutes, our Erev Shabbos Parsha Inspiration. I apologize that my throat is a little sore this morning, as we've had two rallies in 2 days, plus an amazing kumzitz with Rav Schechter Shlita last night, so I don't have much of a voice this morning. I'm straining even to speak at the level that I am, but so you'll apologize if I'm a little bit quieter than usual. As always, our learning on Friday mornings should be for Eliule Nishmas, for our beloved Teddy Kellen. Let me just get his name up here. Our beloved Teddy Kellen, Shimon Tuvia, Ben. Shimon Tuvia, Ben Dov, Yehuda Leib, Chaim. Our learning should be Eliule Nishmas. And of course, our learning this morning is with heavy hearts, with what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, as we daven and we pray for our brothers and sisters in Israel for peace and safety and security. And we daven for us in America. Those who were at the rally 2 days ago know that anti-Semitism is not far from our doors, and it's important to daven for the safety of American Jews as well. Okay, three ideas in 30 minutes. Get us energized, ready, new safer, new book. We get to turn the page on everything that was previously. CDC allows us to go around without masks if we're vaccinated. New book in the Chumash. What better new beginning is there than that? So here we go. Idea number one comes from an idea I shared in a different context with the afternoon kolo this week. The pasuk says, "Ve'ela told us Aaron u'Moshe biyom diber Adonai es Moshe b'har Sinai." These are the descendants of Aaron and Moshe on the day that Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai. And then the pasuk goes on to say, "Ve'ela shmos b'nei Aaron." And then the pasuk goes on to describe and to list the children of Aaron. And it's a glaring question. First it says, "Ve'ela told us Aaron u'Moshe." These are the descendants of Aaron and Moshe. And then, we don't mention the descendants of Moshe whatsoever. All we talk about are the descendants of Aaron. So why is it that the children of Aaron are attributed to being the descendants of Moshe Rabbeinu as well? Based on this, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in two different places, variation, we're going to discuss that in a second. But the Gemara says, "Kol ha'melamed ben chavero Torah," that anyone who teaches someone else Torah, their friend's child Torah, ma'ale alav akasuv kilo yelado. It's as if you gave birth to that child. So powerful is the obligation to share Torah with other people that it's as if you gave birth to that other person. Therefore, says the Gemara, and its proof is from our pasuk, that the reason why Aaron's children are attributed to being Moshe's descendants is that while Aaron may have given biological birth to these children, Moshe Rabbeinu gave spiritual birth to these children by teaching them Torah. This is described in a number of different contexts as well. So for example, later on in the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, on Sadi Tes Amabez, the Gemara proves from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, we know, it says, Ve'asanefesh asher asu b'charan. The word asu means to make. So the Gemara over there again says, Kol malamed ben chaveru Torah. Anyone who teaches someone else Torah, Ma'ale alav akasuv kilu aso. It's as if you made that person. It's as if you created that person. And clearly the communication of these two Gemaras is to remind us about the power of Torah, that we have a spiritual body, we have a physical body, and while biological parents might give birth to us in a physical sense, when you teach someone Torah, when you impart Torah on another person, so now you're able to give birth to them in a spiritual sense. The Torah Tmima, and others, as I'll show you, pick up on this word, ki'ilu asa'u, right? It's as if you made the person. You'll notice in the first Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says, ki'ilu yalado. It's as if you gave birth to them. In the next Gemara, it says, ki'ilu asahu. It's as if you made the person. Says the Torah Tamima, what a strange formulation. It's as if you made a person. The person was already made. The person was already a physical body. The person was already alive. Says the Torah Tamima, an amazing thing. He quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia, "Shekodem shalama Torah, haya ish gas vehamoni pashamod." That before a person learns Torah, they're crass, right? We say every morning, "Mosar adam mina behema ayin." That there's no real difference between us and an animal. Animals eat, sleep, have desires. We eat, sleep, drink, have desires, right? So before we learn Torah, we're just filled with animalistic instincts. Ula'achar shalama Torah. But after we learn Torah, na'ase kamo beria chadasha. Listen to those words. We become like a beria chadasha. We become like a new person. Where is that phrase Beria Chadasha used? That term Beria Chadasha is used by a Geirus, right? A Geir. Geir Shin is Geir, Kekatan Shinola Dummy. That when a Geir, when a convert comes out of the mikvah, so they're a new person. They're completely transformed. They've undergone a metamorphosis. That, says the Torah Tumimah, is what happens to us when we engross ourselves in the study of Torah. Nase kamo beria chadash. It's an amazing idea. We become like a new person. And therefore he says, v'zeh she'amar ki'ilu asahu. That's what it means. That someone teaches someone else Torah, it's as if they made them. Kalomar ki'ilu asahu mi'chadash. Kamo yitzrom mi'chadash. That when you teach someone else Torah, when you are engaged in the study of spreading Torah, so it's not just a nice thing, it's not just a mitzvah, but you're able to transform the other person and transform yourself in the process. Ki'ilu aso means you become a beria chadasha. You become an entirely new entity. The Medrash, Tana Rabbi Eliyahu, has a different formulation. Kol melamed es chaveru pasuk echad, o halacha echad, o davar echad. It doesn't mean you have to give shir klali. If you go up to a person and you share one word of Torah with that person, says the Medrash, ki'ilu hu no sein lefanav chayim. It's as if you've given life to that person. And I'll give you another proof for this in a second, but before we even get there, what an enormous Musar HaSkil for every single one of us. Because no matter what your skill level is on this Zoom right now, it is clear to me that every single one of us has the opportunity to spread Torah and to influence other people. You don't have to be Rosh Echter Shlita. You don't have to be Rabbi Goldberg with thousands of people listening to your Parsha class. You could be in the gym. You could be in Publix. You could be at your Shabbos table with guests. And if you share a word of Torah with that person, ki'ilu nosein lefanav chayim, nase beria chadasha, you've transformed that person into an entirely new human being. What an amazingly empowering idea. I'll share with you one more source for this in Samar Shah. Excuse me. It's the Marsha in Masecha Sanhedrin, where the Marsha says in his commentary on the Gemara we just read, he says, a nefesh shezachar hu nefesh adam asher asu. The nefesh that we are created with, that's just like a body. In other words, we're an adam, right? Ki torem hayoso yodea darche Torah, because before we know Torah, mosar adam min habehema ayin. We're no different than animals, as we said. We have desires and needs. Animals have desires and needs. Uvidiyaso darche Torah. But the moment you engross yourself in Torah, and the moment you involve yourself in the spreading and sharing of Torah, tibadel yitziraso mikol shar bali chayim, you've now transformed yourself. You've now removed yourself from every other human being, v'nase adam, and now you are a categorically different entity. You are an adam, and adam just doesn't mean a person. You are now regal. You are elevated. You have a connection to the divine. You have transformed yourself into much more than just a physical body with wants and needs and desires. Now, you have a spiritual body as well. And so idea number one is this amazingly empowering idea, I think, for every single one of us. Why is it that Aaron's children are attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu involved himself in spreading Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu had invested himself into teaching Aaron's children Torah, and therefore it's ki'ilu aso. It's as if he himself gave birth to Aaron's children. And the message for us, as I said, is very clear. Whether we can share a word of Torah with someone else, go to your Shabbos table this Shabbos. And whether you have a guest or a family member there, share a word of Torah with them. And listen to the words of the Medrash, of the Gemara, how you're able to transform not only them, but yourself, in your house, in the Kedusha of Shabbos, in the process, a very powerful idea number one. Idea number two comes from really the essence of the entire first two parshios of Sefer Bamidbar, but really this parsha, where we say, "V'chanu b'nei Yisrael ishal machaneu v'ishal diglo l'tzivosam." If you think about the organization that went into the Mishkan in the desert, it is somewhat mind-boggling that for a people that such a short while ago were slaves in Egypt, now had to organize themselves with such rigor, in such structure, in such elevated levels of organization. It's actually quite impressive. I had that same reaction for those who are learning Daf Yomi. So when we were learning Maseches Shkalim, which again, some people gained a little bit more out of Shkalim, some gained a little bit less. But one of the things that I don't necessarily know that I had a full appreciation for was we talk about the Beis HaMikdash, and we talk about what went into the Beis HaMikdash, and people brought korbanos, and they came on the Shul Shogalim Shavuos, right? In a normal year, the Beis HaMikdash would be Bil Chevra, you and I would not be on Zoom right now. You and I would be on our camels and our donkeys, and we would be making the trek from our home to Yerushalayim. That's what we would be doing right now. We'd be sleeping in people's houses on the side of the road, Shloshe Yemei Agbala. As we were progressing to Yerushalayim, we would be calling up friends, asking if we can bunk up. Right, Yerushalayim's not so big, but it made room for everybody. That's what we'd be doing in a normal year. Maseches Shkalim helped me appreciate the level of complexity that was involved in the operation of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The contributions, the animals, right? When we see the pictures, they're like sanitized pictures. But think about like hundreds of thousands of people, Jews and non-Jews alike, coming to the Beis HaMikdash, bringing korbanos, having to purchase korbanos, right? The level of infrastructure and complexity, the operation that was involved is staggering. Now, if it was staggering in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, travel back in time a number of years to the Mishkan, and it was equally staggering. Because not only was there this entire system of korbanos that we know existed in the Beis HaMikdash, but you also had this traveling component of breaking down the Mishkan and putting the Mishkan back up, the way the camps were organized and who could go where and who had to travel where and the order in which they had to travel. So if there's one idea that we take from Sefer Bamidbar, it is the concept of order. It is the role that order plays in our lives. This idea, again, there are many, many sources for it, but this idea I found most clearly in a comment by Rav Aaron Cutler. This is the Mishnah of Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron Cutler says, "Ad heichan magas chashivas inyan haseder." We understand and appreciate now just how important seder is. Seder, of course, means a certain organization, a certain organized mindset, a systematic way of how we approach the things that we do. Yesh lilmod mehadam atzina b'torah inyan hadgalim. When you look at the encampments of the Jewish people, Shesidra Torah biprotrot kol mahalcham. Why does the Torah go through psukim after psukim after psukim, detailing and articulating for us exactly how it was organized and structured? It sounds so superfluous and unnecessary to me. Nisiyasam v'chanisam, how they traveled, how they encamped. Mi heim b'chol degel v'ofen chaniyasam. Right, who cares? Who traveled when? Who had to travel first, second, third, how they encamped? Why do I care? And then when you come to the Avodas HaMishkan, kol davar v'davar b'prat, b'kdima v'uchar, every single detail of the Mishkan, in intricate detail, who had to carry this, who had to carry that, who walked here, who walked there. Why does the Torah do all this? Says Rav Aaron Cutler, because of Torah kol zeh, that the reason why the Torah says all this, be'arichus lilmod ledoros kol inyanei ha'kedusha ve'avoda dorshim seder, that anything with Kedusha, anything that is in service to Hashem, needs to be orderly. Now, what does that mean, it needs to be orderly? So on the Bigadol, on a macro level, of course, we know that the world is Hashem's greatest manifestation of order. And the second order is relinquished from the world, chaos happens, right? Think about how much order and complexity is involved in nature, right? We refer to it as the butterfly effect. I think Rabbi Goldberg actually wrote about it this week. But Rabbi Sachs writes about the butterfly effect. The butterfly effect essentially says that if a butterfly flaps its wings in the Pacific Ocean, it could cause a hurricane in Florida, right? That the butterfly effect, that the whole world is interconnected, right? Nature is the ultimate symbol of Hashem's complexity, of Hashem's infinite wisdom in the Seder, in the order that Hashem built into the world. And if Hashem did not build into the world the order that we have, or if the order were to crumble for a second, you and I would all be in a lot of trouble. So there's order when it comes to the universe. What does it mean for us? What does order mean for us? So if you went to Kelm Musar, Kelm, right, the altar of Kelm, one of the great schools of Musar. So Kelm placed a heavy focus on order, on the way you were dressed, on the orderliness of your room, whether your bed was made, Kelm was famous for that. There's a very famous story of a Rav who went to visit his son in yeshiva. He comes to Kelm and he goes into his son's room. He sees that the bed is made, that the shoes are where they're supposed to be, that everything is neat and everything is order. And he goes home, doesn't even see his son. So he comes home, his wife says, "How's Chaim Yankel? Is he learning well?" So he says, "Yeah, he's doing great." He goes, "Did you see him?" "Didn't even see him." "What do you mean you didn't even see him?" "I went into his room." "You went into his room?" So Kelm was a firm believer that if your life was in order, that that created an internal sense of order that was also enabling you to focus on Dvar Hashem, that was enabling you to connect to the divine. But what about a practical level for us? So for here, I want to go to Revolbe. And Revolbe says in his Ali Shor Chelek Beis, Amud 420, he says, "Hare Adam Sha'asak B'Torah, Sho'alim Oso Adim Kava Itim L'Torah." Right, we use a strange word, koveya itim latorah. Have you established, have you set words of Torah? Hainu, im hayu lo sedarim lasok b'torah. Do we have seder in our day? Why is seder in our day so important, says Revolbe? Because we know this from countless books. Let's choose one. Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Covey talks about the need to make sure that your priorities are actually attended to and that the urgent doesn't overtake your priorities. And so he gives the famous example of your rocks. That if you're putting rocks into a jug, so if you fill in the jug with little rocks, then by the time you go to put your big rocks in the jar, there's not going to be any room left. What you have to do first is you have to put your big rocks in first, and then you'll make room for all the little rocks. Covey uses that imagery about time management. That if you let all the seemingly urgent things take up your day, then you're never going to have time for the things that are really important to you. Because you're going to end the day and you're going to say to yourself, "I never got to the things that I wanted to do." And so what Covey instructs people to do is to start with the big rocks. To figure out what are the most important things for me? What would success look like for me today? That is uncompromising. I'm setting that in my schedule. And everything else, I'll fit around it. That, says Revolbe, is the importance of order. When Hashem talks about Seder, of having an order in our life, it means to make sure that we get to our priorities. Im kavanu la'atzmenu kvar asa seder, right? Then we will make sure that we can make time for the things that we want to make time for. That we don't go to bed at night and say, "You know what? I did this and I did that. I went shopping and I drew carpool and I never got to daf yomi. I never made time for learning. I didn't get to minyan because I was so crazy. I didn't able to say my tehillim today because I was..." Right? We should never end a day that way, says Revolbe. That if we organize our day, if we create a seder to our life, then we will be able to make sure that our priorities are actually attended to and that the urgent or the things that we think are urgent don't overtake what are really our true priorities in life. There are so many countless examples of this, right? There's the, I've always talked about the 5 minute, what's it called? The 5 minute journal. 5 minute journal is a great thing. You can get online. I've used it personally in my life many times. But the 5 minute journal basically says every morning for 5 minutes, you journal. Now, you're not really journaling. What you're doing is start off by three things that you're thankful for. And then one of the things that you do is my day will be successful if the following three things happen. And the reason why I love it is because it forces me at the beginning of the day, it literally takes 3 seconds to say, what are the most important things of today that I must get to? And that I will feel unfulfilled if I do not get to. Could be making a phone call to someone that I've wanted to call. It could be a Seder in learning. It could be saying Tehillim. It could be anything. But it for me, is that's my priority. And if I articulate my priority at the beginning of the day and have that in front of me as a visual guide, I will make sure that I will get to that throughout the day. And then, by the way, at the end of it, it has... Did I get to my three things? So you do it for a couple minutes at the beginning of the day, a couple minutes at the end of the day. This has Revolbe, that while modern self-help genre is just coming to this idea, the Torah was far ahead of this. By the Torah emphasizing for us that notion of Seder, the notion of organization, the notion of making sure that we have a Seder to our life, it's all to remind us that our priorities should stay our priorities. That the things that we think are urgent in the rat race of life don't overtake us, but that we actually get to those things that we want to get to those things that are truly our priorities in life. A beautiful idea from Rav Aaron Cutler, a beautiful idea from Rav Obit, if you put them together, focusing on so much of the Parsha, which is about organization. And you say to yourself, what do I need that for? No, it's an inspiration to every single one of us to make sure that we organize our lives, that we organize our priorities, that we get to the things that we truly want to get to. That is idea number two. So idea number one is a beautiful idea about Torah, how Torah can recreate us, the Torah can make us a Beria Chadasha. Idea number two was from Rav Obit and Rav Aaron Cutler about the importance of organization, of organizing our priorities. Idea number three comes from the Slonim Rebbe, the Siva Shalom. Slonim Rebbe quotes the Medrash. Medrash says, Lama Bamidbar, why was the Torah given in the Midbar? Why was Klal Yisrael in the Midbar? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai. Why in the Midbar? And so the Medrash says very famously, Mikan Shanu Chachamim Begimel Dvarim Nis Torah. The Torah was given with three things. Eish, Uvamayim, Uvamidbar. With fire, and with water, and in the desert. Slonim Rebbe explains that each one of these things is a lesson to every single one of us. That each one of these attributes, fire, water, and Midbar, are each three things that can be misunderstood, that can be misplaced and misused for nefarious purposes, or each one can be channeled into the greatest avenue of service of Hashem. So let's go through each one. Eish, fire, represents the Yitzhahara, its desire. It's bright. We say you have a burning desire inside of you. It's the passion that we feel. Of course, that's the easiest one. The fire, that passion, can be used for very bad things. People could be passionate about the wrong things in this world. People could have desires and chase after the wrong things in this world. On the other hand, if we channel it, bislavas de kedusha, with a passion for kedusha, be'esha Torah, with a fire for Torah, then obviously we've now channeled, we've transformed that negative characteristic into a positive characteristic. I would argue, anecdotally, I think this is why sometimes some of the most troublemaker kids in high school end up being the most on fire Jews when they grow up. Because all they did was flick the switch on that attribute. And that same attribute that caused them to be so passionate, enthusiastic in rabble rousing in high school, all of a sudden they are able to channel that passion into Torah, and now they become on fire. They become on fire for Torah. So it says the Slonim Rebbe, idea number one is Eish. It means you and I have to become on fire. That we have that inside of us. Are we going to use it for tuma? Are we going to chase our desires to allow our Yetzirah to overcome us? Or are we going to go on fire for Judaism? Anyone who was at the Kumsitz with Rav Schechter last night, and if you weren't at the Kumsitz for Rav Schechter last night, watch it. There are videos on Facebook. There was fire in that tent last night. There was a burning desire, a yearning, a craving for a greater connection to Hashem. That is what it means, the Eish of Torah, the fire of Torah. Number two is Mayim. Mayim, says the Slonim Rebbe, he midas ha-chesed ve'ava. Water, in Kabbalistic terms, refers to chesed, kindness, and love. Ha-kolelas es midas ha-teshuka, shi'akoach ha-chazach bi-yoser. It's a desire, not just for needs and wants, but it's a desire to come close to other people. Right, for ahava, for chesed, for love. Now, you would say love's a beautiful thing. How can you mistake and misuse the attribute of love? And yet you and I both know that happens all the time. Right, not even the way that we're thinking, but the attribute of love can cause you to overlook evil. It could cause you to, right, misplaced. Love is not always a good thing. Right, the desire of connection, if misused, is not always a good thing. Right, ahavas reyus, v'teshukas ra'os. You could have love for the wrong things. You could have love for Avodah Zarah. You could have love for the wrong desires, right? V'teshukas reyos. And you can yearn for the wrong things as well. V'tafkido shel Yehudi, says the Slonim Rebbe, the job of a Jew, harotza l'kabel Torah, lahachnis es midas ha-teshuka b'kedusha. That yearning, that craving, that desire for connection and love, we should now channel that in, b'shtokakus la-Hashem Yisbarach. To channel that into a desire and a yearning and a craving for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those who are in our Tehillim class know, we studied chapter 42 yesterday, one of the greatest manifestations of this. Sama nafshi lelokim. that my soul is craving you, Hashem. That my soul is thirsty for you, Hashem. Please come, nurture it, satiate it, provide it with the sustenance that it's so looking for. That is Mayim. That is why Mayim represents that desire for love. Lastly, he says, it's the Midbar. Midbar is a place of Hefkeris. Right? You go to the desert. There are no rules in the desert, says the Slonim Rebbe. Right? Makom Hefker. Shelatzara tuma hainu an hagas mufkeres mibli gedarim. B'siyagim, it means there are no rules. And it means there are no boundaries. And it means there's no one to tell me no. Midbar means, what it means, Midbar? You go to a Midbar, you're in a desert, it's a lawless place. That there are no boundaries. And there's no one telling me what to do or what not to do. How do we channel that? We make ourselves a Midbar. We make ourselves Hefker. We submit our ego towards Hashem. We say, Hashem, I am nothing in front of you. All the things that I think that I own or that I can, it's all nothing in front of you, Hashem. I live to please you and to serve you and to spread your divine mission and mandate in this world. It's not about me, but I'm making myself Hefker to you, Hashem. That, says the Slonim Rebbe, is now how we understand the Medrash of Mikan Shanu Chachamim Begimel Dvar Nisna Torah. That the Torah was given to the person who can channel these three attributes. The Aish, the fire, the passion, the burning desire. You got to channel that to service of Hashem. Bamayim, your desire for love and connection and yearning, a desire to come close to something, right? That can be bad attribute, but that could also be a good attribute. Uva Midbar, the notion of lawlessness, the notion of Hefkeris. So if we're able to channel that sense of Hefkeris towards Hashem and say, Hashem, I'm Hefker in front of you, right? The only reason I'm here is to be able to serve you. And it's not about my needs, and it's not about my wants, it's not about my expectations. It's about my purpose in this world vis-a-vis my service to you. And so we saw this morning three beautiful ideas in 30 minutes. We'll review as always. Idea number one came from, again, numerous sources, but let's go with the Torah Tamima, that beautiful idea, Ki'ilu Asahu, that if you teach someone Torah, it's as if you made the person. The Torah Tamima says, what does it mean you made them? The Nasa Kiberia Chadasha, that you make them like a new person, that when we engross ourselves in Torah, when we engross ourselves in the spreading of Torah, we have the opportunity to transform ourselves. As we come to the holiday of Shavuos, let's reflect upon that. Whatever level you are at, there is no one on the Zoom that cannot connect to Torah on Shavuos. Hebrew, English, Yiddish, whatever you name it, there's a sefer out there for you. Whether you open up a book by Rabbi Frand, or whether you open up a ktsos on the... doesn't matter. There's Torah for everybody. In our day and age, we have been robbed of the excuses. There is an English translation for everything. English translation for everything. Let's utilize the holiday of Shavuos to transform ourselves, to elevate ourselves above just an animalistic instincts, and to make ourselves an Adam, to make ourselves regal and elevated based on our connection to the divine, where we nurture not just our body, but our neshama as well. Idea number two came from Revolbe, came from Rav Aaron Cutler, about the nation of order, of Seder. Why does the Chumash go through lengths, lots of psukim, detailing the structure and the organization and the orderliness of the entire Mishkan and the traveling? It's amazing, but it also seems so trivial. Says Revolbe, no, the whole point is the Torah wants to train us in that concept of order. Because the more orderly we are, the more mindful and thoughtful we are about how we structure ourselves, the better we will be at making sure that we actually get to our priorities and that our priorities don't get knocked down and the seemingly urgent things always come up and come up and come up, and years go by and weeks go by and decades go by and we say, you know what? I've been going, but I haven't really done what I wanted to do. That, says Revolbe, is the mussar. That's the message of the organization of the Midbar. And lastly, Rav Slonim Rebbe, Begimel Dvar Nisna Torah Be'esh, Uvamayim, Uvamidbar. We need the passion, we need the desire, and we need the selflessness in our Avodas Hashem. I want to wish everyone a good Shabbos. I want to wish everyone a Chag Sameach, that we should utilize this beautiful and magnificent Chag that is upon us to be able to connect with Hashem, to be able to connect with His Torah, to be able to elevate ourselves and elevate others in the process. Everyone have a beautiful Shabbos.